Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Matthew 28, verse 20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of age. This was the last commandment that Jesus gave. We know that. What are the promises that he gives in there? He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said that as a man. Yes, he was always God, but he was man when he said that. And we have so many scriptures that we know we are co-heirs with Christ. The same authority he has, we have. And I realized at the time, what God was doing in me was he was saying, Lauren, I'm delivering you from striving. Because I'd grown up just in my surroundings. The only way I knew I would be accepted was to perform. I don't know if anyone struggles with that, but the performance was something that I carried into my relationship with God. And so although it was good for the first 10 years, I wasn't ready for God to come and press his finger on this weakness of mine. But what he was actually saying, he was also speaking to me about, in Corinthians it says, my grace is sufficient, or my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I always thought those weaknesses were things that I'm not good at, you know. Terrible at remembering names. It's so bad. Like, I have to ask people, sorry, I know you told me 5 minutes ago, but I don't know why. I've asked God, like, can he give me a new brain, name brain aspect of my, you know. I love people, but it's just like, I don't know what it is. Anyone have a word of knowledge for me? Please let me know. Okay. But, so I thought that was the weakness. And I just wondered whether God was saying, sometimes a weakness can be when we are confident in the things that we are good at and we don't have to rely on God. And he's like, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so what he was actually saying was, Lauren, you're not dependent on me enough. There's an independence. You've seen my glory, you've seen healing, you've seen deliverance. But there's an aspect of striving and independence that you are moving in. And so he invited me into this journey of getting stripped. You know, any of you experienced that, where God comes and he does a stripping process and he removes those false sense of identity, false sense of comfort, and things that you think, well, I'm good at this. I know how to pray for people. I know how to solve problems in business. I know how to do certain things. And he is so good to take us through those times. And so the example here is he gives this commission to the disciples, and it's like massive. They've been walking with Jesus. They've been seeing him do most of the miracles. And now he's saying, I want you to do it. I want you to go and raise the dead, heal the sick. I mean, that is intimidating. I wonder how they experience it. Do they think, well, he had this formula, you know, he spat in the eyes of people that were blind, so I'm going to do that, you know, or I'm going to try the tricks that he did. But he's faithful. He said, soon after that, in Acts, after he's risen, he says to them, Acts 1 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is, okay, blah, blah, blah. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Okay, it then goes on to chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Who of you know that the Holy Spirit is not spooky? The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. The Holy Spirit is power from on high. And I realized in my relationship with God that I'd seen glimpses of the power of God, but it was like God could not manifest his power because I was striving too hard. I don't know if you can relate to that, but it was like I was trying to make things happen in terms of seeing the kingdom come. It was all noble. You know, it was like things that I could justify in my heart. But what God did in that time of me sitting at home was I could not give an account to anyone of what I did in my day. I went from this manager at Deloitte to sitting at home, only being able to press into the presence of God and only being able to sit with him. And I realized I was missing something because this shouldn't be hard. Like Almi said, I should be delighting in the fact that I have endless time to spend in the presence of God. And I remember at that time, I was so challenged by my identity. I was so challenged by no one was seeing what I was doing. My husband was going on great business trips and he was having these great opportunities and I was just, that's awesome, love. And how was your day, Lauren? Well, I spent about 4 hours in the Word and then I went to the gym and I made a really nice lunch. And I know it sounds like a joke, but I don't know if you've been through that when you get stripped from what you find comfort in. And God at that time was speaking to me in Revelations where it says they lay themselves before the Lord and they said, holy, holy, holy. 24 hours nonstop. And that didn't sound exciting to me, to be honest. And I realized, God, I'm missing a part of you. And I realized that just like it says in Psalm 103, God made he made known his ways to Moses, but he made known his acts to the Israelites. And I got into a place of being comfortable with the acts of God, but the ways of God, his heart, who he is, what delights, what excites him. What are the things that he gets excited about? What does it look like to minister to him? Not just minister to the people in front of me, but what does it look like to give everything that I am? Just as Philip spoke about just now, surrender. Surrender the dream, surrender the gift, surrender the things that I've placed identity on and just be okay in his presence. And what he was doing is he was setting me up for success because my nature is to run full steam ahead, run into the wall, knock over, burn out, get up and move on. I could do that as a student. I can't do that as a mother and a wife. If I'm going to bring glory to God, I need to be available. I need to be giving from the overflow. And not just from a striving, not from a, you know, from a place of just like pushing through. And so God, in that time, he took me to Matthew as well, Matthew 11, where it says, let's just say no more striving, no more striving. Okay, Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said to me, Lauren, I want to do things through your life. And at that stage, I thought, well, this is what God can do through me. And he was saying, this is what I can do through you. But I cannot release you into that. I cannot give you the promotion, or I cannot trust you, actually, if it does not come from a place of rest. Because I'm more interested in your heart, and I'm more interested in whatever you minister to people and whatever you do. And I'm talking about ministry here, but some of you are called for being lawyers or doctors or just mom, like being a mom and a parent is the greatest calling. Whatever it is, whatever you think God is able to do in you, I want to say to you, he's able to do so much more. But there's a waiting period. There's a time of waiting between the call and releasing. And do not despise that waiting period, because he is building the character in you so that when the power that comes from on high that you get to release, it doesn't overpower you. It doesn't take you out, because you're moving from a place of striving. You're moving from a place of rest. Okay. Oh, okay. And so he says, I will give you rest for your souls. Your soul is your mind. It's your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions. Do you know what a life looks like? Have you seen someone's life that moves from a place of rest? It's like they have a capacity to carry things way beyond themselves, because they're not burdened by making things happen. They're aware of their dependency on the Father. And so in that time, and it's still a continuous time, you know, that there's a dying to the flesh, there's a dying to what I think I can do of myself and what I'm able to achieve, and there's a place of crying out to the Father in every moment, saying, Lord, I need you to come in this moment right now. I'm facing a difficult situation. I'm facing having to trust you for this impossible miracle, but I'm not going to try and make it happen. I know you are good. I have met you in the midst of the inner room. You have revealed yourself to me, and I can operate from a place of rest. And when he says, you will be unshaken, he says, things that come across your path when you are moving forward, when you are walking in the calling of God, when you are trusting for the impossible, that should shake you emotionally to either back down. He says, I will give you rest for your soul in that moment. Because he backs himself. God orchestrates what he has originated. So if he's originated something in your heart, if he's written on that blank canvas, he will bring it to pass. He doesn't hold carrots before us. He doesn't keep us waiting for the sake of punishment. He builds within us a desire for testimony and a desire for glory for his name. Okay. And so he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What he's saying is, my yoke, my relationship. It's those two oxen that are plowing the ground together. That yoke that we carry is easy. The relationship between us should not be hard. You should not have to be striving to hear the voice of God, striving to know whether he's for you. It should be an easy yoke. And when you operate from a place of rest and you enter in and you sit at his feet and you say, Father, recently we've been trusting for a house. God has told us that he's got a house planned for us. And my husband is a teacher, and I am more prophetic, so I want to act immediately. Well, God has spoken, so let's act, right? The teacher receives a piece of information from a distance. It approaches him. He analyzes it. He talks to his friends. He prays about it. And then he makes a decision. He reads scripture about it. I'm so thankful for my husband that's a teacher, because I would have burnt my fingers in terms of timing many a time. So if you're a teacher, embrace the way God works with you, okay? If you're more prophetic, surround yourself with teachers, okay? God also works with you in beautiful ways. How was I feeling this way? Oh, trusting for the house. Okay, thank you very much. And I just, the timing of this coming to pass was very different from my husband. I'm going to finish with one scripture in 5 minutes, okay? And I was sort of like, well, God, where are you? You know, because, well, first of all, as the wife, where do I fit into this decision-making process? You know, once again, that independence God was dealing with me. Do I trust my husband? Will I submit to his guidance and his leading around this? But in that waiting time, God came to show me that I'd made a house an idol. I was willing to compromise on a house just to have the white picket fence. And I always knew that that's not what God has called my husband and I for, but the lioness that wants to nest inside of me for my children, was willing to compromise. And God just said, because it was consuming my mind. You know, an idol consumes your mind. You think about it all the time. And I started operating from a poverty mentality towards God with this house. I started doubting, and I started actually allowing a fear of disappointment to come in. But he allowed a delay in the waiting process because he wants to show me how faithful he is. And he wants to show me that he is a God that gives abundantly. I feel like he's done a work, he's done a testimony in my heart already. We haven't even got the house yet. When it comes, I'll send a picture on Facebook and you guys can go, woo, Lauren, they've received. But he said to me, I want to give you a house because what's actually in your heart? We desire community, my husband and I. We desire a place where people feel safe. We desire people to come in and experience the presence of God. We want people that don't have families to come and live with us for 6 months. We want to, do you understand? He was transforming how I saw this thing that he had promised. And so some of you are even trusting and you are waiting for a husband or wife and God is saying you need to start moving. I want you to start living out the fullness of what I have for you now. Not waiting until you get that person. I want you to lay it down before me because I know what you need and when you need it. Okay. And so I feel like I've said a whole lot of things. I hope it has made sense. Let's finish off with the scripture, and I'm just going to drink some water. Let's just say, let's wait on God. So Acts 3 it's a lame man healed. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So this man, this lame man's there, and he's asking for money. And Peter stops and he says, look at me. Look at me in the eyes. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, obviously. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up, Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. How beautiful. One of the first miracles that happens after Jesus is resurrected. Like I said, the disciples have this commission. I'm sure they're overwhelmed by it and they could easily strive in it. But Jesus had given them assignment to go and sit and wait. Go and wait until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then Peter and John go. And this guy asks for money. And Peter's response is, gold and silver I do not have, but what I have, I give you. What was that? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the power of God. Where that man thought he just needs money to survive, God doesn't just give us what we need to survive. He gives us so much more because the man is now equipped to work again. You see, we sometimes think God will just ask for the bare minimum, but he's saying, I want to give you so much more. But we need to be okay with sitting in the presence of God and waiting for him to reveal those things to us. And I feel like what God is saying, that the worship band can come up through this, is that God wants to do works of amazement through you. He wants the community around you to know that it is impossible, that that man was lame. And he got healed. And they have to start saying, but it wasn't her. Because previously for me, I would have easily have taken the glory before 2 years ago. And I'm being very honest. But what God has done in my heart is he has drawn me into a place of knowing that I'm so dependent on him that if it is not him that I cannot release into a situation, then it's going to be false. It's going to be empty. He's not going to get the glory. And when we change our mindset from, I am called to be the CEO of this company and all I'm doing is that and I'm working towards that, and we miss the opportunities along the way, then we're missing what it looks like to glorify God. And so I realized that in those times of pressing in and in those times of waiting and asking God, he fills us up. You know, even if you're going through a difficult time and you're going through a challenging time, God is preparing you for what is to come. I remember when I was pregnant with Benjamin, someone once said to me, all you need to do is raise your child to be socially acceptable. Have good manners. And I thought, that's noble. But I don't want my child to be socially acceptable. I want him to be a social reformer. I want him to be so I want to influence his environment. And therefore, his character needs to be strong. And therefore, sometimes he's not going to get what he wants immediately. But he's also going to know that he's loved. And he's going to know the Father's heart for him. He's going to know that he is created for so much more. And the Father, let's stand. The Father is saying to some of you tonight, you've been waiting and you almost are growing a bit weary. You're growing a bit hopeless because you've been waiting or... And the Father is just saying he's building within you. He's developing himself. He's drawing you into him to become more like Christ, to become more like Jesus, so that when people see miracles and see supernatural things happening around you, that he's going to get the glory and people are going to be drawn closer to him. But I also believe that some of you tonight, you're so overwhelmed by your lack. You're so overwhelmed by the fact that you don't know who you are. You know this God and you know that there is a call, but your identity is rooted in things that are fallible. Things that will fail, things that are earthly. And I believe God wants to speak over your identity tonight. Some of you need to come forward so that God can prophetically speak over you and tell you who you are and what you are called for. There are people here that need to let go of control. You need to surrender those things that you're holding so tightly on that are bringing you comfort. And God is saying, I'm not asking them of you to punish you. I'm asking them because I have so much more for you. He doesn't want you to limit yourself in what you are able to do. He's calling you. There's a great commission upon your life. There's a calling upon your life. And even if you're struggling with striving tonight, you feel like you're so tired of trying to make things happen, you need to have a revelation of God's goodness and his provision. That what he has originated, what he's calling you to do, he will bring to pass. There are people here tonight, we had a word beforehand that you feel like your heart is dead. You feel like it's a rock. You don't know, you haven't cried in a while. You just feel so emotionless. You want to call out to God. You want to be vulnerable and honest, but you don't know how. And he's saying he's going to resuscitate you tonight. He's going to breathe upon you. Some of you have been trying to walk this Christian road in self-righteousness, but the Father is saying, I want to embrace you tonight. I want to pour my love over you. I want to reveal myself to you. I want to show you more than just my acts. Especially men. I feel like there are men here that you need an encounter with the heart of the Father tonight. God is going to do heart surgery amongst us, and I just know that he has placed desires in your heart tonight. He's spoken to some of you. And as we worship, I want you to come forward. I'm a huge fan of altar calls because I think every altar call that I had as a student, I was up front. I was so broken. I was so nowhere. And Jesus came to encounter me every single time. I am only who I am today because of the love of the Father that pursued me relentlessly.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.